Hello, everyone. I'm Marianne Stumbaugh, Assistant Director of Alumni Career Services here at the Alumni Association at UVA. Welcome to the Friday Forum webinar. Are you ready to conquer your fear of the job search? Returning to Friday Forums today for her second webinar with us is Peggy Norwood, UVA alum, clinical psychologist, author, ordained minister, radio host, and entrepreneur, as well as mom and triathlete. Peggy comes to us today from Colorado, where she's Director of Faculty Professional Development at Community College of Aurora and owns a consulting business that includes radio, television, publishing, and private practice. At the time of her webinar this past fall, she had just left her teaching career after 19 years, sold her home, and sent her twins off to college, breaking all the rules about making too many major life changes at once. Peggy is now living in an apartment, enjoying being an empty nester, and thriving as an entrepreneur. One of her personal goals is to complete 10 triathlons by age 50, and she is currently training for her eighth. Peggy conquered her fears and tells me that she now has the satisfaction of doing what she is meant to do. Those of you who have participated in Peggy's previous webinar on procrastination know that she provides great insights that can help you not only in your career or job search, but in your personal life as well. Peggy's procrastination webinar was one of our best attended Friday forums, and if you haven't seen it yet, you can still watch it in our webinar library. Peggy will stop periodically during her talk for questions, and you can submit them at any time. Just click in the chat box input in the lower left of your screen, type and edit as you need to, and hit enter. Now, here's Peggy Norwood with Conquer Your Fear of the Job Search.
Thank you so much, Marianne. Just hearing you introduce me that way made me a little nervous. It's a lot going on at one time, and you're right, I did break all of the rules. And as you said, though, I've never been happier. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm just passionate about sharing my journey and how I pressed through my fear. And while I didn't pursue a job, I actually quit a job, some of the principles are still the same. So that's what I want to share with you here today. We're going to just jump right in here and start out talking about the six universal emotions. Psychologists generally agree that there are six universal emotions. You can see them depicted here in psychologist Paul Ekman's famous photograph that represents his research. And he's best known for mapping and studying facial expressions and their link to emotion. Now, it's interesting to note that of these six universal emotions, only one of them is entirely positive. You could consider surprise positive, maybe if someone's surprising you with a brand new car on the Oprah Winfrey Show or giving you a pile of money. But in general, all of the others are negative, and happiness would be the only positive one. So some take that to mean that we're wired towards the negative, and it really is our default emotional setting, so to speak. And it's easy to have negative emotions, but we really actually have to work pretty hard to overcome those negative emotions and experience the positive. So our focus today of this webinar, obviously, is on fear. And let's just start out with a working definition of fear. Fear can be defined as anxiety or apprehension that someone or something is dangerous, that it's likely to cause pain, or that it's a threat. So think of the last time that you were afraid. What did you believe was the danger? Where was the threat? And how much pain did you expect? And was it emotional pain or physical pain? You know, here in Colorado, we've been having some really strange weather lately. We've had blizzards and snow at the end of March and into April. But today, thank goodness, it's a gorgeous day. We love the outdoors. I'm going to go back there. We love the outdoors, and on a weekend that, like this weekend, it's predicted to be in the 70s, you're going to find everybody out and about. And, you know, there were these two hikers climbing a 14er when they saw a huge bear just around the bend. The first hiker took off running in the opposite direction. The second hiker stopped, took off his boots, and grabbed his sneakers out of his pack. The first hiker looked over his shoulder to see where his friend was and yelled, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't outrun a bear." Well, the second hiker yelled back, "That's true, but I can outrun you." So you might expect that there's times of legitimate fear. If you saw that grizzly bear staring you in the face, you probably would experience that emotion of fear, and maybe you would take off running, exhibiting what we know as the fight or flight response. So fear can be a survival mechanism, especially when it triggers the fight or flight response, because that prepares us to respond to a threat of danger or harm. And in addition to preparing us to take action, our emotions, including maybe even especially fear, also contribute to us learning future responses. So if you experience fear in response to a grizzly bear, obviously it's going to teach you to avoid that grizzly bear in the future, maybe even to avoid the friend that you're hiking with who's going to leave you and take off running. So let's talk a little bit, though, about what I call self-limiting fear. And I once had a friend who described fear as false evidence appearing real. Now, have you ever experienced fear but then realized it was actually unwarranted? I think that's a pretty common experience. We sometimes chuckle afterwards because we get really fearful, and then when we kind of take a second look, we realize, oh, that was nothing. Well, self-limiting fear, as I call it, is a response to a situation where there really is no true threat, or where the response to the threat wouldn't actually promote survival or success. So unlike fight or flight in a true emergency, a fear response when there's no threat can actually be self-limiting. You're running or you're fighting or you're expending a lot of emotional or physical energy unnecessarily. And then when it's time to actually truly take action to accomplish your goal or whatever the task might be, you're really already worn out. You've expended your available energy. But in addition to fight or flight, psychologists sometimes talk about the faint or freeze response. And maybe you've had a scary situation where you kind of froze in fear. I can remember a few times having a dream where I was asleep and I was awakened by a sound coming from downstairs. And in the dream, when I got up out of bed and looked down the stairs in the living room, there was a burglar standing at the bottom of the stairs. And I was terrified. I wanted to run or call out for help. But in the dream, I was so terrified I couldn't move. I was frozen. Maybe you've seen that depicted in the movies where someone is so afraid they freeze or even faint, right? So obviously self-limiting fear, if it triggers a freeze or faint response, unless you're a squirrel or a rabbit, we see that they'll freeze as a survival response, but we're not rabbits. So a faint or freeze response really actually is self-limiting when you need to keep moving. So self-limiting fear triggers passivity, inactivity, can trigger giving up, staying where you are when you really need to be moving forward. And for these reasons, self-limiting fear is going to cause you to miss out on some things. So I want to talk about four common sources of fear that I've encountered in my experience as a therapist and just a student of life. And these four common sources of fear, they occur in four different scenarios. Fear of the unknown, fear of the unfamiliar, fear of success, and fear of failure. And let me tell you a quick story that illustrates these fears. I once wanted to go down the big slide at the swimming pool, you know, those really high slides. Some of them are they swirl around. And I wasn't really a very strong swimmer, so I was really afraid to go zooming down that slide. I'd never done it before, so I really didn't know what to expect, how fast I would go, or would I fly off the slide if I didn't stay firmly rooted on it. And I might hurt myself. Even worse, what if I got all the way up to the top of the stairs but was too afraid to go down and got stuck up there? Or what if I actually did go all the way down the slide, but I hurt myself at the bottom and maybe even drowned? So did I mention I was 39 years old at the time? I eventually did go down the big slide. I didn't want my kids to see their mom afraid to do something so simple just because it was unknown and unfamiliar, and I could possibly fail at it. I actually struggled a lot with fear throughout my whole life, and I was just determined not to pass that fear response on to my kids. At least if it was genetic, I wasn't going to model it too. And so just in the interest of serving as a role model for my kids, I grit my teeth and I marched up that big slide and I screamed the whole way down. When I stood up in the water, it actually only came up to my knees. So imagine how silly I felt afterwards for being so afraid. Well, we'll talk more about fear in just a few moments, but first let's talk about you, who we have here on this webinar. These three circles contain our three target audiences for this webinar, and there may be folks watching right now who don't fit into these categories. I'll be curious about what motivated you to log on today. But let's try out the raise your hand feature. You'll see a little hand in your panel. And raise your hand if you're changing jobs or careers. I'll give you a few seconds to do that. Okay, great. Okay, quite a few of you. Raise your hand if you are unemployed right now and seeking work. Okay. What about a recent graduate, or maybe you're graduating even this May, and congratulations if that's you. Raise your hand if you're a new professional or about to enter into the workforce. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And if you don't fit in any of these three categories, why don't you go ahead and just describe yourself career-wise, work-wise in the chat box for me, just so I can get a sense of who those folks are who don't fit neatly into these three categories. Underemployed, thank you. Okay, anybody else? Temporary, good, thank you. Out of the workforce, raising children, moving. Okay, ready for change, assisting those who are unemployed, happily employed but hopeful. Thank you so much. All right. Well, hopefully you'll find something in this webinar for you as well. I trust that you will. So obviously, we're all looking for a job on this webinar. At least most of you are hoping to move into something new. And you may be in all kinds of different situations. You may have had many jobs or been in your career or job for a very long time. Again, maybe you're currently out of work and have been for quite some time, or maybe, again, you're just a recent graduate. But regardless of your circumstances, you're all what you all have in common is the job search. What else, though, do you all have in common? And I'll give you a hint. Write that in the chat box. Your hint is in the title of this webinar. What else do we have in common here? Okay, so fear. And that's, again, obviously the topic of our webinar today. If you're anything like me, and if you're anything like most people I've talked to, the job search can be very frightening. Now, of course, this can be problematic because, as we just saw a moment ago, fear can be self-limiting. Fear can be paralyzing, and fear can be draining. So therefore, if you're experiencing fear as you're facing a job search, it's really going to be counterproductive. You may become incapacitated by fear. And in my experience as a therapist, fear is one of the biggest barriers that people face and experience that keeps them from changing and that keeps them from pursuing their dreams and goals in any area of life, not just the job search. So keep in mind our definition of fear includes apprehension because you're anticipating danger, some sort of threat or pain. And so we may fear perhaps damaging our reputation, maybe a threat to our ego or self-esteem, just the pain of failing or losing the job that you really want. So what I want to encourage you while you're taking in the information that I'm presenting to you today in this webinar is to be really open to risk, being willing to take a chance despite your fear. And taking a chance involves exposing yourself to the possibility that something unpleasant or undesirable could happen. And that's exactly at the core of the definition of fear. And so are you willing to take a chance? And I believe that you are. That's why you're on this webinar, that you're ready to move on. You're ready to do something different for a change. And I do believe this is such an important question to answer in the affirmative, because how you do anything is how you do everything. If you can master your fear of the job search, you can master fear in any area of your life. Now, Sherry Huber is an author of a neat workbook by this title. It's called How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. So if you're paralyzed by fear and you don't aggressively pursue your job search, that's likely how you do everything. If you can master your fear of the job search, as I said, you'll unlock the key to conquering fear in every area of your life. And I'm confident that if you really take in the information I'm presenting and you actually apply some of the strategies and the insights that I hope you'll have as a result of this webinar, you really will see an improvement. I can say from experience, I let fear dominate my life through most of my life, probably only until about maybe 10 years ago, and that's being generous. And as Marianne mentioned in my introduction, I took a step of faith, did the most frightening thing, one of the most frightening things I could imagine, and I quit my job after teaching at the college level for 19 years. I probably should have stayed that one more year just to make it an even 20. Well, again, you can conquer your fear in any area if you conquer your fear of this job search that you're encountering right now. You know, I used to study Taekwondo, and I was actually one belt away from black belt when life got in the way and I stopped training. It's been years since I trained, and therefore I'm not really that good anymore, but I do remember many lessons that I learned from Taekwondo. One day I was in class, and my instructor paired me up, and I was probably in my 30s at this time. I was paired up with a 13-year-old boy as my sparring partner. And I was a lot further along in the class. I'd been there for a few years, and he was just starting out, but he was a young man. He was 16. But I was a little overconfident. My guard was down while I was sparring him, and he was actually able to get a good, strong front kick right into my gut, right past my down block, and he knocked the air out of me. I had never been kicked or punched in my whole entire life, so as you can imagine, that was not a pleasant experience. After that, I was quite afraid of being kicked again, and I subsequently became a very timid fighter. And as a result, I lost most of my sparring matches after that one incident with that teenage boy. I had observed, however, that I always fought very well when I sparred against my instructor. And even though he was much more advanced than I was, he was like a third-degree black belt, I was never afraid that he would hurt me because he was a very controlled, skilled fighter. And he always pulled his punches and kicks rather than actually making contact. You could hear the wind whipping, you know, through his sleeves, but he'd stop, you know, just this close from my face. So I was not afraid that I was going to get hurt. I trusted him. Because I wasn't afraid, though, I was free to fight to the best of my ability, and I always sparred very well against him. My instructor pointed out to me that I was letting my fear of the 16-year-old boy hold me back from fighting my best. And my instructor told me to press into my fear. That was his advice to me, rather than backing away. So if how you do anything is how you do everything, my advice to you is similar to the advice my Taekwondo instructor gave me, is to press into your fear, acknowledge it, and then confront it, come face to face. Because I was more experienced than this 16-year-old boy, after all, as long as I didn't back away from him out of fear, I was able to defeat him. My instructor was right. Every time I sparred this young man after my instructor gave me the advice to press into my fear, I won. And over time, gradually, I wasn't even afraid at all anymore. But before I could conquer my fear and move forward, I first had to acknowledge my fear so that I could confront it and come face to face with it. So just like me in the sparring ring, you're experienced and you're skilled and you have what it takes to conquer your fear. You just have to decide that you're ready to conquer it and you're going to move forward despite your fear. So let's take a closer look at these four common sources of fear as they're related, as they pertain to the job search. Again, the unknown, the unfamiliar, failure, and success. And let's take a look first at the fear of the unknown. You might be asking yourself, are there even any good jobs out there? Will I run out of money? Where do I even go? How do I begin a job search? Will the interview go well? Will I get the job I really want, that I've trained for and gone to school for? What can I expect in a new job or career? Will my new boss or coworkers even like me? So what you don't know can be very scary. What are your job prospects? How will the interviewing go? What will it be like when you actually get the job? That's very frightening, just the not knowing. And I know for me, when I struggled with fear throughout my life, that was my number one issue, was just the not knowing. I hated not knowing, and so it was very uncomfortable. Let's take a look at the unfamiliar. We also think of the unfamiliar as fear of change, and I see this a lot in my work. I refer to myself as a transformation specialist. My aim is to help people move beyond just being better and getting by, but really transforming their lives. And initially, there's a lot of pushback, a lot of resistance. I think we're just afraid of change in any area. Now, in talking with Mary Ann, they were observing at the UVA Alumni Career Services that a lot of people were afraid of the technology, and it was often because it was unfamiliar. Everyone says you should have LinkedIn and Twitter, but I know for me, I have them, I have accounts, but I just have no clue how to use them. They're just unfamiliar. For me, a big part of it, though, is feeling overwhelmed by all the options we have. It's less about being afraid, more about being overwhelmed. And maybe if that's you, you might find my procrastination webinar that Mary Ann mentioned in the introduction. You might find that valuable. We talk about how sometimes we procrastinate because we feel overwhelmed. And in that webinar, I offer some practical strategies for managing the overwhelm. But you might be afraid of the unfamiliar because everything's online now, especially if it's been a while since you've been out of that process of applying for jobs. They're actually, you submit your resume online, you fill out the application online, you update any information online, and it can be a little tricky because everybody's system is different. And for some folks, that's very intimidating, just all that technology. Maybe you've never worked in this industry before that you're trying to get into, as if you're changing careers. Or you're comfortable in your current job, but you're scared to do something new. Or you knew what to expect with college, but what will it be like going to work every day? If any of these are starting to strike a chord with you as I go through these just examples of the fear of the unknown or the fear of the unfamiliar, type something in the chat box to let me know that these are relating to you. Or maybe you're experiencing something in these categories that's a little different than the examples that I'm offering. Well, then there's the biggie, fear of failure. Nobody likes to fail. That's a no-brainer. No one likes to come up, feel short, deficient, unable to meet the standard. So what if they don't like you? What if you make a fool of yourself at the interview? What if they hire you, but you're in over your head? What if you never get a job at all? What if you disappoint everyone who's depending on you? What if it was a mistake to have quit your job in the first place? That's kind of how I felt when I resigned my teaching position. What if I lose everything? What if this was a mistake? What was I thinking? Or maybe the new job you're applying for is lower status than your previous job, and you feel like you're moving backwards. You know, fear of failure, especially when it's done publicly, is never any fun. Maybe you heard about the North Dakota news anchor who was fired after he cursed on the air on his very first day on the job, and the video went viral. This is a very public way to fail, and that has got to be painful. There's so many different ways we can fail and areas in which to fail when we pursue a job. What if you don't even get the job to begin with? What if you never get a job and you remain unemployed forever? You know, this last example of fear of failure, I see someone just wrote, concerned my brain is not as sharp after being out of the job market for 15 years. That's important. This last bullet point that I've highlighted here, I came across an interesting statistic. Job seekers often ask, is it wise to take a lower level or a lower paid position just to get back into the workforce? Or is it better to wait on your dream job? And in the past, it may have been wise to hold out for your dream job, but in one survey, they found that 51% of all full-time hires came from internal transfers and promotions. So in other words, if you can get your foot in the door, especially in a company that you really like and you'd love to be advanced, that you'd love to advance in, you're more likely to be able to work your way up to your dream job. So that I thought that was good advice that's based on data. So I'm just seeing a lot of folks in the comments concerned that you're too old, the online application process. So it looks like this is resonating for a lot of you. Well, this next one may seem counterintuitive. Fear of success. What if you actually do get the job? If you're afraid of failure, clearly the opposite should be desirable. But in reality, there really are many people who are afraid of success despite their belief that to the contrary. What if you get the job and you still feel empty? That's a really scary one. We're always kind of striving to go higher and higher. What if we finally get there and it's not what we were hoping for? It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill. What if you go higher and you're overwhelmed by the extra responsibility that you have? What if making more money changes you? That's actually a problem I would love to encounter. I'd love to see how I figure that one out if my millions change me. But that for some people who are making a lot of money, it can be overwhelming. We see that with the studies they do on sudden lottery winners, especially people who are coming out of generational poverty, and then they win these multi-million dollar lotteries. It's overwhelming. What if you don't fit in with all the other executives? Or what if you do achieve your dreams? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. You have more to lose. So achieving job success requires us to operate in a realm that combines all three of these previous fears. Achieving success sets you up to operate in the unfamiliar and the unknown, and it raises the stakes, making fear of failure an even more painful prospect. Again, the higher you go, the further you fall. There are so many new things to learn and master when you get a new job and as you get more and more successful. Dr. Ruby Payne and Don Crable wrote a book called The Hidden Rules of Class at Work that identifies the many hidden rules that are especially challenging for workers when they're coming out of generational poverty. And not knowing what it seems everyone else knows can be intimidating, and it's easy to believe that everyone around you can tell that you're unsure of what you're doing and that you're the only one who doesn't know what you're doing. Many other people, I'll let you in on a little secret, they don't know what they're doing either. They're just trying to make sure you don't know they don't know and that you think you're the only one. But you may feel inadequate compared to all the other successful people around you. And what if they whisper behind your back? What if they laugh at you? So as we become more and more successful, we also risk, as I mentioned, not feeling satisfied and constantly craving more. And that perpetuates a feeling of discontentment rather than accomplishment. What if you achieve everything and still feel empty? Now, what theme do you hear in all of these? Fear of success, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, and fear of the unfamiliar. Give that a thought, a moment. What do these all have in common? Anybody, if you can think of that, let me go ahead and share. They all have, some of you were thinking, I think I know the answer, but what if I'm wrong? What if I embarrass myself with the wrong answer? Fear of change, that's true, Nicole. Thank you. But they all have in common as well, what if thinking. And you start paying attention to your inner dialogue. Someone said they're all imagined, yeah. Pay attention to that inner dialogue. One of the common threads that fuels fear is what if thinking. What if I fail? What if I embarrass myself? What if I don't know what to expect? What if I end up broke? What if thinking is going to increase your paralysis? One way to counter what if thinking is to offer evidence that your what if thinking is incorrect. And so you may become aware that your thinking is just plain wrong as you share your fears and apprehensions, as you hear yourself saying it out loud, especially if you have a friend who's honest with you, who'll tell you the truth, or maybe even if you see a coach or a therapist, as you share your anxieties and apprehensions, a good listener will reflect that back to you, and you'll hear yourself with all that what if thinking. And you may become very aware when you hear it out loud reflected back to you, it's just not even true. Like someone said, it's all imagined. Someone's even saying we could learn from ourselves and overcome our bad habits, and I think that's really where I'm getting at with this. So if your awareness is heightened, that may be enough to overcome what if thinking. But one strategy I offer my clients when they get stuck in this rut of what if thinking is to teach them to get in the habit of asking themselves, well, and then what? Imagine your worst case scenario and ask yourself, okay, what if this bad thing happens? And then what? You might be surprised, as someone just mentioned, that to discover there's actually a positive side to the thing that you fear. Well, what if you don't get the job? That will leave you open to receive a better opportunity or one that's meant for you. My daughter, who's a college freshman, applied for a summer job back here in Denver when she gets home in May, and she didn't get it. She was really disappointed. And I told her, honey, that just means now you have the opportunity to get something even better. It just opens up the door to move into something else that's better suited for you. So someone saying could also the worst case, you could see that the worst situation isn't even that bad. That's exactly what we're talking about. Or also you might realize it's really not even that likely to happen. So when you think about it rationally and logically, it may not be that bad, and it actually may not even happen. Okay? But what if it actually is true? What if it actually may be likely to happen? Maybe you really are nervous. And you mess up. But you'll do the best you can, and you'll learn from this experience. And even if it is true, will it really matter in 5 years? So putting things in perspective, even though things go viral, that poor news anchor, his video would have stayed in North Dakota with all three of the viewers of the local news, just teasing. But of course, we're in a YouTube age now, and it went viral. And millions, I haven't looked lately, last I checked it was up to like a million views of his very public faux pas. He cursed on the air, ended up getting fired. But guess what? The next day, he was on the Today Show. He was face-to-face with Tom Brokaw, giving him some advice and, you know, doing multiple interviews. He'll probably get a great job and will forget all about it, or he'll be known as the news anchor who curses, and he'll make $1 million doing it. So even if it's true, will it really matter 5 years from now? And you never know, that failure might actually propel you to the next big thing. And then lastly, the last strategy I recommend to my clients is, okay, yes, it actually is true. Yes, it actually is significant, and it really will matter. So what can you do to fix it? If it's truly important and it's likely to occur, how can you constructively address this problem? It's an opportunity. It's now exposed an area for improvement. So you can work on it on your own, perhaps, or again, you may need the help of a friend or a coach or a counselor to help you. Focus on how you can solve that problem and take constructive corrective action instead of what-ifing yourself into paralysis. Okay? So one good what-if question to ask is what I call your one key question if you want to conquer your fear. And that question is, what would you do if you weren't afraid? I absolutely love this question. It's such a simple question, but it's such a powerful question. I first encountered this question where it actually kind of registered with me when I interviewed a man named Winston for my first book. And Winston had been offered an opportunity to take an early voluntary retirement because his company was restructuring. Winston declined the offer, and he ended up regretting it. And so in an attempt to later force him out because he really didn't fit in with the new plans that management had, they made his life miserable. And upon reflecting on how things had deteriorated for him at work over the months since he should have taken the retirement but didn't, His daughter actually asked him this one simple question. Dad, what would you do if you weren't afraid? So I pose that question to you. What would you do in your current situation if you weren't afraid? What jobs would you pursue? What jobs would you not pursue? Some of us get caught up in expectations and we're afraid to break out of that mold. Maybe your family, there's some family pressure to do a particular type of job you studied for, that's in your profession, or you're interested in something unconventional, but you're too afraid to go against the grain. So take some time to really reflect on this question. Remember, how you do anything is how you do everything. So what would you do in all the other areas of your life as well if you weren't afraid? You might want to do some journaling around this question and see what you come up with. Go ahead and put it in the chat box if you're aware right now of some things that you would do if you weren't afraid. Put that in the chat box as we move forward here. Now, it's likely that your answer to this one key question will lead you to what you love. If you weren't afraid, what would you love to do for your next job? I love it. Go get a PhD. Work for myself. Jeff Greer, that's what I'm doing. And it's liberating. Go for your PhD. And I don't know how old you are, but sometimes people feel they're too old. It's going to take too long, but go for it. So what would you do? What would you love to do for your next job? You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, and we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm a firm believer that identifying the things you love and are passionate about will help to motivate you and overcome your fear. It's also very likely if you weren't afraid, you would be doing what you're truly good at. What do you do in a way that no one else can do, in a way that no one else can? What makes you unique? What comes easily for you that you can leverage when you're afraid? If you remind yourself that you're really good at certain things, you will feel empowered to pursue them despite your fears. So what are you good at? Go ahead and impress me with a few things in the chat box. I also firmly believe that your fear keeps you from making an impact on the world. And there's something that this world needs that only you can provide. Someone said they're very good at languages, public speaking, listening and advising. There is somebody out there right now who needs to be listened to and advised and spoken to in their native tongue. Okay, so there's something out there that this world needs that only you can provide. And if you let your fear hold you back, you're not able to do what you were created to do. So what does the world need? If you weren't afraid, what could you offer? What would you offer? Focus on this during your job search, and that'll help you to conquer your fear. Now, as a parent, I've seen this principle operate in my life many times. It's so much easier to persevere through my fears if I know my children need something from me. And that was actually part of my motivation in going down that big slide. As silly as that sounds, I really wanted to be a good role model for my kids because I had struggled with fear my whole life, and I really didn't want to see them held back from doing exciting things in life just because they were afraid. So after you identify what you would do if you weren't afraid, pursue that thing. Again, you may need support from a coach, a therapist, a trusted, honest friend. But make a commitment to pursue the thing that you would do if you weren't afraid. And most likely, what you've been doing to conquer your fear hasn't been working. That's why you're on this webinar. So it stands to reason if you want something different, you'll need to do something different. And in addition to pressing into your fear, I want to offer you several practical strategies to help you to conquer your fear. Now, I talk a lot about and write a lot about what I call my ABCs of change. And again, you'll see these in the procrastination webinar that I did last fall. You'll see these in my book explained in more detail. But doing something different for change requires change in three important areas: where you focus your attention, what you believe, and the choices you make. And Judy just said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Thank you, Judy. She was a plant in the audience. So A is for attention. Detach from the feared negative outcome and instead focus on what you want, what you love, the benefits to you, your family, and the world when you're working in your chosen profession, and focus on where you're going. Imagine and experience those outcomes in all five of your senses. Meditate on what it will look like, sound like, feel like, taste like, smell like, you know, smell the money or smell the people you're helping when you accomplish the thing you want. Visualize yourself being successful in your new job. Now, some of these things some people think sound a little, I don't know, hokey or whatever, but we hear these types of things a lot because they're true. They really work. When we change our focus and our attention, we move in that direction. Have you ever been driving late at night and maybe you get into that highway trance and you kind of just start following the person in front of you? And before you realize it, they have veered off the road, and next thing you know, you're veering off the road. I always tell the story about in my first triathlon, I had just actually learned to swim in order to participate in this event. And so I was a very timid swimmer, and I intended to just stay away from the crowds. And there, in this particular race, there were over 2,000 women in the water. And so my strategy was to stay away from the crowd, stop to avoid getting kicked in the face and splashed and all of that. And because I was so focused on not being harmed, I overshot the buoy where I was supposed to turn back around and head back to the pier. And I had to be rescued or redirected by the lifeguards in the kayak. They were blowing their whistle and pointing because I was just going way off course. So where you put your attention is where you go. My attention was on protecting myself, and that's where I went, not where I was supposed to be going. So A is for attention. Press into your fear and redirect your attention towards your desired outcomes rather than on your fears. I was so focused on fear, I missed where I was supposed to be going. B is for beliefs. To conquer your fear of the job search and in any area of your life, you must change your beliefs. To move forward with your job search, you're going to need to assume and believe the best possible outcome for yourself. Resist the urge to let your thoughts go to the negative outcomes that you fear, which would likely result in paralysis. Avoid what psychologists call stinking thinking, such as all or nothing thinking and what's called the fortune teller error. I just know this is going to turn out badly. Well, no, you don't. So get out of that stinking thinking and renew your mind. Meditate on the positive outcomes. Instead of saying, I'll never get the job, if I don't get hired, I'm going to be a failure, get rid of those thoughts and focus on what's really true about you. What are your talents? What are your abilities? What about your personality that's going to help you succeed? You'll need to believe you can press into your fear and pursue your job despite your fear. So to help you build your courage and press into your fear, think about all the accomplishments you've had in the past. Go back and reread some of your old performance evaluations, or reread some of the letters of recommendation that you've gotten in the past. Reread some of your thank you notes. Even reread your college admission letter. I have a former boss who used to encourage me to keep what he called a brag file. Anytime I got a nice note from a student or a commendation for something that I did well for the college, he said, put it in that file. Not only will it help you build your portfolio when it's time for tenure, but if you're ever having a blue day, a down day, pull it out and read it. Feel good about yourself. Encourage yourself with those things. You know, nobody pays anyone to write you a nice thank you note or a good letter of recommendation, so you have to assume it must be true. So use that to encourage yourself. You know, for me, it's really important spiritually to focus on what God says is true about me, no matter how I'm feeling about myself on any given day. So maybe you can find something inspirational and encouraging that you can meditate on when you're feeling overwhelmed by fear of your job search. Lastly, there's C for choices. Choose to do something different. As Judy was saying earlier, you'll always get what you've always gotten until you do something new. So what small thing can you do now or first when you feel real overwhelmed and that's part of why you're afraid? What can you do next? So what's that one next small step that you can focus on? And what will you do that's new or different? So I'll give you some suggestions in a moment, but keep in mind, as we said, if you want to be somewhere other than where you are, you'll have to choose something different. You know, one simple thing that may not occur to you when you're pressing into your fear is to breathe. I just did a stress management and burnout prevention workshop earlier this week, and we practiced breathing because we tend to hold our breath, whether it's physical strain or emotional strain. Start paying attention to that. You'll notice you're holding your breath. So you can even go on YouTube probably and find some videos to help you with some relaxation techniques and breathing exercises. So practice that when you're feeling overwhelmed and anxious and apprehensive about your job search. All right, so let's talk more about some of the specific choices you can make. What you can do now, next, and new. I want to just tell a quick story about a young man I met at Starbucks last month. He had just moved to Denver to pursue a new life, and he quit his job, came to Denver, even though he didn't know anyone here or have any particular job leads. Sounds pretty scary, right? But he had decided he was ready to do something different for a change. He was dressed for work with his shoes shined and a freshly pressed shirt on, sitting at this table next to me at Starbucks on his laptop, doing research for jobs, filling out online applications, reaching out to people. And I just struck up a conversation with him and invited him to register for this webinar. I don't know if he's out there or not, but if you're out there, I don't recall your name, but you made an impression on me. I hope you'll put in the chat box that it's you. I'm going to use you as my example today. He's an great example of how on faith you can get out there, take the small steps daily to move you toward the job that you want despite your fear. So what small steps did he take? He got dressed for work and he left the house. His shoes were shined, his shirt was pressed. He was online on his computer. Maybe he didn't have internet at home, but maybe he really did just want to get into that routine of getting up and out. He was doing research, applying for jobs, networking. All of these are small steps that you can take. So you can do something small each day to move you forward. Research a company, read a trade magazine, practice your interview, make an important call, fill out an online application, set up a LinkedIn account, go to a networking event, watch a free University of Virginia Friday Forum webinar. If you haven't looked at the library, there are dozens of very helpful topics. You could spend all day looking at those. Okay? So it's not unusual to hear about a young man like this and hear the advice and small steps I just suggested and then provide a whole host of reasons why this may all be true for that guy, but your situation is different. Don't be a yes butter. That's what I call it. I once heard someone describe the words yes but as a giant eraser. Everything I just suggested is erased. So don't be a yes butter. Why not instead say yes and? Remember I asked you if you were willing to take a chance? And what would you do if you weren't afraid? Practice saying yes and. Just replace that word but with and. Yes, I'm afraid and. Fill in the blank. Yes, but will keep you exactly where you are. Again, if you want something different, you have to do something different. So I am fully persuaded that Nike was right. Ultimately, you do have to just do it. Remember, you won't always be able to get rid of your fear right away, if at all. But the key is to ask yourself, what would I do if I weren't afraid, and to press into it and do it anyway. So focus on what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs. And remember, how you do anything is how you do everything. So this is much larger than just finding a job. It's about how you do your life. And for me, as a recovering, you know, fearful person, it's so limiting. There's so many things you miss out on because of your fear. And your fear doesn't ever have to go away. You just have to be willing to press through it. And actually, that's what the definition of courage is doing something in spite of your fear. So don't think it has to go away. So what are you willing to commit to doing today? Okay. Put that in the chat box. What's one small thing you're willing to make a commitment to do, one small step at a time that will move you closer to where you want to go, to doing what you would do if you weren't afraid? Make a commitment, And a lot of research shows if you make a public commitment, it keeps you more accountable. Write it in the chat box. Make a commitment to refocus your attention in some way, change your beliefs about yourself, and do something different for a change. So someone saying, identify what I'm really afraid of. Yeah. Focus on the positive outcomes. And that's not about being Pollyanna, you know, oh, everything's all good, but really getting a concrete vision in your mind to hold on to. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm working for. This is what I'm sacrificing for. And this is what it's going to look like until you can really taste it and see it. That's how much you want to meditate on that and focus on it. Think about how I would answer many of these questions. Thank you, Jonathan. Charlie says, brush up on a resume. Great. And if you're in Charlottesville, there's lots of help. I actually got plugged into doing these two webinars because I called in to the Alumni Services Career Office because I saw that we had access availability to the career counseling services when I was thinking about quitting and trying to figure out what will I do next. So they do telephone consultations as well for alumni if you're not in the Charlottesville area. Record affirmations, someone is saying, so I can notice when I'm going into negative thinking. Great suggestions. So congratulations. You're on your way to conquering your fear of the job search. Notice in Paul Ekman's famous photo, we've gone from the fear circle to the happy face. Okay, so I'd like to take your questions. I want to make you aware that I have a book titled Do Something Different for a Change, where I go into these ABCs in more detail and talk about the three common barriers to change. Change is hard, it's scary, and it comes at a cost. And I also just recently wrote a workbook, especially for people who are transitioning to work. And of course, because how you do anything is how you do everything, the workbook is also helpful for personal transformation in any area of your life. And I'm happy to offer you a 10% discount if you order the book through my website, and you can see the code there is no-fear with the capitalization as indicated. I hope you'll consider that and take advantage of that 10% off. Any questions out there? And Marianne, maybe you can help me scroll back through the chat to see if there were any unanswered questions that came up while I was presenting. But thank you all so much. And I'll put this discount code back up in a moment, but just let me at least put my contact information. I'm very accessible. If you'd like to reach out to me, I would love to chat with you and answer any questions you may have about this webinar. You can take a look at my website. I have a ton of information, a ton of archives from my weekly radio program on any number of personal transformation and mental health topics. The PowerPoint is going to be available, someone's asking about that, shortly after this webinar is over. You'll be emailed a link to view the recording, to complete a survey. I think Marianne will talk about all of that in a moment. You're welcome, someone said thank you. So may I answer any other questions?
While everyone is looking if you have any questions, Peggy, I looked back through and most comments were just good responses and feedback to the webinar and no outward questions directly for you, so I think you've addressed everything. Everyone, I'd like to give a big thank you to you, Peggy, for your very helpful webinar. I want to let you all know that our next webinar will be on Friday, May 10th, when Meg J. joins Friday Forums to talk about the defining decade, your 20s. If you are in your 20s, the parent of a 20-something, or you have coworkers in their 20s, please join us for that Friday forum. You can register for it and the rest of our May and June webinars on our website at alumni.virginia.edu under Career Services. I think we're okay with the questions, so I'm going to thank again everyone who joined us today. We appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope that you found Peggy's information helpful and that you are no longer fearful of the job search, or at least that you now know how to deal with the fear. As always, we have been recording today's webinar, and everyone who registered will receive a link to the webinar recording along with a link to the PowerPoint slides and also a very brief survey in that email. So please respond to the survey if you will. Thank you again from Alumni Career Services here at UVA's Alumni Association. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you in 2 weeks on Friday, May 10th.
Thanks, Marianne. Everybody have a great day.